going, everybody? This is Preston Johnson at SportsTita on Twitter, here with episode 3 of A Petty Moose, the podcast that we will be bringing to you every week on Mondays now. I'm with my co-host, Caesars Matt Lindemann. How are you doing tonight?
I'm great, man. We got a quick turnaround here. What's it been like just a couple of days since we did the last one?
Three, 4 days. Basically the weekend, and neither of us really sleep on the weekend anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we were talking about last night. It just doesn't make sense for us to wait until Thursday to do it when we're doing all our homework on Sunday and Monday, and we're pretty much ready to go for the most part. And so, you know, why not try giving people, you know, something to listen to earlier in the week?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's probably other people out there that haven't placed bets, at least more often, on Monday. A lot of them maybe by Thursday night had already made their bets and they didn't want to find out that they were wrong, so they're not calling in as often. Maybe we'll get a few extra callers doing this Monday night. We will find out soon enough, but I wanted to start off, one, we're going to be doing this Monday nights from now on. Two, we have a contest we're going to be introducing, get into more details on that. It was more or less Matt's idea. I'm not even going to take credit for it. It was something that you found, or I guess did, for, was it a Kentucky blog, something or other, where you found the idea and concept originally?
Yeah, it was, honestly, it was probably like a decade ago. I saw it on a message board.
Message board.
It was something I did. I thought it was so much fun in college, and it just seemed like something that is really simple and everyone can do. It's basically just a contest where you pick a money line dog, and you get the number of points that they're dogged by if they end up winning the game outright. So, you know, we'll leave it to you all to figure out, or I'll let Cheat explain the rules or how we're going to do it, but we're going to try to do something along those lines.
Yep, exactly, and I think we'll have basically a Google survey type doc that we throw out there every week. People can pick their side or their team. So you like the 20-point dog, it's worth 20 points. You like the 3-point dog, it's worth 3 points, but the person with the most points at the end of the year, probably go through bull season, they're going to win $500. Or fly them out to Vegas, take them to dinner, give them their cash. I don't know. We'll do something. It'll be fun. We're going to bring that to the table. We'll explain in more detail a little bit later on the show why I think the idea kind of makes sense and should be fun for one, but also kind of correlates to these like Moneyline underdog round robins that we do every week that people seem to like and always ask me to post on Twitter. So we'll get into more details on those. But first, I forgot last week to even talk about it. And with all my volume that I do Saturdays in college football, it's now been back-to-back weekends where my moose of the week has been in the NFL. And the one that got me the most was actually last night. And it was in the Giants-Cowboys game. At one point, I believe it was 13-0 Cowboys. And the Giants got the ball and had the ball. It was around midfield, and they were plus 10.5 plus money. And I thought, you know, if they can get one first down, there's a really good chance they're going to get a kickoff. Heaven forbid, they maybe even score a touchdown. I took the 10.5. They got a kick, was what ended up happening. They kicked the field goal, went in, and I played back, and I got minus 9.5, almost juice-free. It was about a total of like 8 cents that I was like paying to land 10, and the score was 13-3, about one quarter left. Sure enough, Dallas has like a 9-minute drive. They march it down, get a touchdown, go up 17. So at this point, I'm probably losing, but maybe get the garbage touchdown up 14, the prevent defense. And sure enough, Eli Manning marches it down. We get the garbage touchdown. It lands 10 with about 90 seconds left or whatever. And I think the Giants at the time only had one timeout. So it was going to come down to an onside kick. As long as Dallas recovers the onside kick, I had quite a bit of money on each side of these. And then sure enough, it looked like Dallas wasn't even prepared for the onside kick, which I don't understand. Up by 10 with 1.5 minutes. And they kicked it like down the middle of the field. There was one Dallas guy there. He didn't get it. And then sure enough, Giants were smart enough to hurry and kick a field goal so they can actually try a second onside kick, which had no shot. Of course, that one just went right out of bounds. So that was my moose of the week. I had a huge middle there. Would have made my NFL day actually really profitable. Instead, I wound up with a slight loss Sunday. Anything that stood out to you this weekend, Saturday probably more particularly?
You know, I'm going through everything, and I wanted to say this. I think this is probably a sign of when you're running better than you expect, but there's really not anything I can find that I was like, nice. Wow, I really should have won that. I'd say, you know, that Wake Forest, I think we did the last episode on Thursday, but that Wake Forest second half under was the only thing where I think they had 3 or 4 fourth down conversions on that final drive. But, I mean, Wake moved the ball so well that I probably didn't even deserve to win it anyway. Really not much to complain about. If Illinois had beaten USF, I would have cashed in pretty good on 3 out of 4 in a round robin, but hard to really call that a bad beat. So
did they wind up, was it giving up 3 touchdowns straight?
Yeah, they were up, I want to say 12, and I mean, they were getting out.
Maybe
games.
They had a field goal in between then.
Yeah.
To go 16 and 19. Okay.
Yeah, it was, but I mean, they really probably weren't the right side as far as winning the game. They were probably lucky to be winning, you know, for as long as they were, so.
Nice. Well, that's always good to hear that, you know.
Yeah, I'll take it. I need more weeks like that, please.
If you can do that every week, I actually think you'll probably be profitable regularly. We had a couple of Twitter questions, so we want to throw these out for people that aren't unable to call in, maybe can't give us a ring and ask about a game. We had two that got thrown out, and then I just saw I have about seven notifications. I'll refresh here, and maybe we'll go into those if there's a few more. But the first one, at Do You Get Jokes, which is actually a pretty good Twitter handle that exists, just pretty straightforward, but yeah. nice grab on that one. He says, nobody comes into Memorial Stadium on a Friday night and walks away a winner, right? Illini plus 28.5 now. That's moved a few points. It opened, I think, around 26, 26.5. Or do you just take the money line?
We're somehow focusing on Illinois to start the podcast. No,
yes.
I made this a little bit lower, but looking at Illinois last week, I went through the box. They gave up 626 yards, 7.5 yards per play against USF. So, like I said, 25-19, really not indicative of kind of USF's edge there. And without A.J. Bush, their starter, I think he's still questionable. He's probably going to be hobbled even if he does play. They don't have a lot of firepower offensively, and obviously Penn State can score plenty of points. So it's one of those crazy numbers. You know, I don't know if you can find a way to do it, you know, take 28.5, but it's just not really something I'm too interested in.
Or the money line then. It doesn't seem like.
I don't know about all that.
So I actually, I had my Penn State, Kent State number was so remarkably high to where the market was that I was a little worried, and that rarely happens to me, and I should have trusted my instinct a little more. I ended up betting it, but I bet it for a little smaller than I normally would. But it was in the 40s. The number was 34.5, 35. I think your number was right on 40.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else I talked to, the number was 46, so it was like extreme. I thought there was something going on.
Yeah, it was interesting. Well, I know Kent State's, you know, they're a little more popular this year. They're a lot better on offense. They got some weapons, them, I guess you could say.
Better than last year. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, just a team that runs up-tempo playing against Penn State, you know, they're probably going to be 60, 70 points. So 35 isn't quite as tough laying there when you know you're probably going to have plenty of possessions and opportunities to get there. So luckily it ended up working out how we hoped.
It did. We made a little money, but comparing this now to the Illinois spot or the Illinois game, it's a little bit different. The game will be slower. I think it's going to be tougher to cover that number, obviously. I think when you compare it, Kent State at 35 was short, but Illinois at 28.5 on the road now. I mean, they were Kent State at home, where it was only 34.5, 35.
Yeah,
now you're laying 28.5 on the road at Illinois.
Yeah, it doesn't even make sense because the Kent State and Illinois played each other, and Illinois is a 2-touchdown favorite, right?
There you go. I think it's Illinois or nothing, or that number last week was really like we just whiffed not slamming it because it should have been 45.
Or maybe home field's just not as big as people think. Either way.
Nice. Second question up here we have here from Scottish Gambler. He asked, and I'll let you just kick it off here, Michigan State, Indiana, 4.5 seems really low. Preseason Michigan State would have been a double-digit favorite, right?
You know what? Let's take a look at what I would have had this preseason.
I was just pulling up my numbers, too.
I would say they would have been probably a little over, maybe like 11 or so, something like that preseason. You know, Michigan State's tough. We kind of speculated a little bit in week two and took a chance and assumed that they were going to play better against Arizona State. I mean, they were winning the game, had an opportunity to cover, but they didn't really play great. And, you know, so coming off the loss and the bye, you think they would be focused. You'd think this is a good spot for them, but Indiana's got a tough defense. It's, you know, still 4.5 points in a road conference game. So I'm not really chomping at the bit necessarily to bet Michigan State.
Sure. I'm in the same boat. Maybe I think a lot of times I get in that mindset, though, where I lost the same or similar bet already against Arizona State. You know, I don't want to do it again. To be fair, they were up 13-3 with the ball with like 7 minutes left and could have easily covered and beaten Arizona State, too. I had this 12. I just looked before the season. My number now, I think, 6.5. So there is some value there. I haven't bet it either. I'm not rushing to it. I feel like in my head, I'm just saying this totally off memory, but Indiana plays Michigan State down to the wire like every year, no matter what the spread is in my head.
I want to say they usually do. It's one of those where Indiana competes with a lot of these higher, you know,
and then they
Big
compete
Ten
with
teams
Rutgers
that just never,
too,
never win, you know.
So it feels like it's going to come down to possession just for whatever reason. Numbers say there is a little bit of an edge there. So for Scottish Gambler who asked the question, yours, if it is higher, fire away. We actually agree as far as the numbers go. We have our first caller up. Jared just pulled him up on the line. John, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what do you have for us?
Texas takes TCU.
Texas TCU.
Let's think about that.
Let me ask you what's your opinion first, and then we'll break it down.
I think it's a dream crusher for TCU. So I would take Texas, the big home dogs there.
Okay, I'll let Matt take it. I know you have some thoughts on this game anyways.
Yeah, no, I actually had this game around a pick, I want to say, so I think I agree with you there that Texas, as far as the numbers are concerned, you know, TCU, I don't want to say, I don't really want to emphasize the situation too much in this one because both teams are coming off big games, so you really, I don't think you can say there's an edge there either way, but TCU, the last 3 years, it's really interesting. It seems like Patterson almost saves his best defensive game plan for Texas because they've scored 7, 9, and 7. The last 3 years against him. So TCU seems to have Texas figured out on that side of the ball. They always seem to bring their A game defensively. And I mean, Texas, you know, they look good in the second half, but I don't think any of us are all that impressed by USC. And it was sort of a deceiving score, I want to say. And I think USC was, you know, hanging in there at halftime and they were outgaining them, winning yards per play, stuff like that. So I don't think Texas looked quite as good. So I'm still kind of a little unsold on I mean, it's bad to say after a 23-point win over USC, I don't know if I'm in on Texas yet. So interesting number that they're laying 3. I would expect it to come down. But as far as the side's concerned, I didn't see much. I think the total's more interesting. Looking at TCU, you know, coming off the Ohio State game, they had the fast track, playing a team that can score a ton of points. You're maybe going to get a little bit of an inflated total here. At least I think the number right now is a little inflated. So I'd maybe look to go under here, you know, with these two really good defenses.
Yeah, it was interesting, and John, I appreciate it. Thank you for the call. But we actually were discussing some of these games last night. This one came up because I had said when it opened 2.5, I think that's a little high. If this gets to 3, you know, I'm probably actually going to have to take Texas. I'm going to have to take the dog, and then I didn't really have the guts to do it yet. I was listening to Matt, and then ultimately, you know, we're waiting and sitting on maybe potentially playing the total some. I think this TCU team played even better against Ohio State than even that final score. They ended up covering the 13. It landed 12, but I think Ohio State scored 2 touchdowns on defense and almost a third one. There was another turnover or special teams play that set up a third touchdown.
Yeah, TCU had 3 turnovers. So.
Yeah, so it was really strange. I think that game, you look back, TCU could have easily just won it. They could just be really good, or Ohio State's maybe not as good, but it's one of those where you're trying to take in, you know, samples that we had from the week prior against good competition, and then do you react, or how big do you react, and or do you overreact to it? And so I ultimately decided to pass 2. I think unless Texas got to where it was the hook, maybe 3.5, I'd have to bet a little bit. But this TCU team could just be that much better than, you know, where Texas is so far based on what we've seen.
One more thing I want to note. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, we have Ty on the phone. Ty, go ahead. What's up, man?
Hey, Cheetah. I just had a quick question for both you guys. 2 questions, actually. I'll ask them, and then I'll hang up and listen for the answer on the pod. But I wondered what you guys thought of the Duke-Baylor game on Saturday. Specifically, Duke had 0 penalties all game.
It was rigged. Are you a Baylor fan?
No, but I had money on Baylor.
It was fixed.
that's what I was getting at. And then I was just curious, you had mentioned earlier in the year doing that college football contest with Joe Lisi on Twitter, and I just wondered if you could update us on how you're doing in that contest.
Sure, thanks. So...
Yeah, go ahead with the contest, and then.
Yeah, so yeah, Joe and I are doing the contest. Jared's grabbing the there was a little hang up noise. Sorry about that. So no, all good. We he didn't really challenge anybody particularly on Twitter at one point, but he challenged the world. He said I'd go toe to toe with anybody in a college football betting contest of some sort. I didn't actually follow Joe. I didn't see it. Someone told me, hey, this guy wants to challenge anybody on in a college football head-to-head contest. So we worked out privately a deal. It's not for very much money. It's a friendly bet, friendly contest. But we are going head-to-head. We're making 7 picks against the Friday night Pinnacle line every week. We're tied through 2 weeks. So that's the update there for Ty on the contest. I don't want to make the picks public on Friday nights. I had someone ask. Maybe I'll do it Saturday once some games kick off so people can sweat the contest if they'd like. But so far, I was up 1 game. He got me. We actually were opposite. He took Washington like at 5.5, and I took the plus 5.5. I was on Utah, and so he made up some ground in that game. But currently tied going into week 3, and maybe I'll throw out the update on who's on what on Saturday mornings. Duke Baylor, fire away.
Duke Baylor, yeah. You know, I didn't really get to watch much of the game. Actually, I had a little bit of money line on Duke in that round robin, but I didn't play it straight or anything. Just, you know, a lot of questions with the quarterback and all that, but. I mean, Duke pretty much just ran it down their throat, and you know they took control early. They looks like they won yards per play in the first half, 7.1 to 3.8, something in that range. So, you know, they were pretty much in control. Baylor maybe not quite as improved as we were thinking before. So, kind of a really bizarre number that ended up getting up to the 5-6 range on on Baylor. You kind of thought, okay, maybe I'm missing something here, and this is just really going to be a disaster for Duke, but that didn't end up being the case.
That was one we actually did talk about on this show on Thursday,
that's right,
where we said, you know, this is really high, it's Duke or nothing. I think we need to be more definitive about what we ended up betting,
right,
because
we
both ended up betting them on the money line to some degree. It wasn't a very big bet for me. Used them in the contests outside of one of the ones that we're working on together, actually. We somehow left them out, but it worked out. I think Duke, Quentin Harris is the backup quarterback, really mobile, really good. Like you said, ran him to death. Ty, I don't think it ended up being close enough anyways where the penalty thing mattered. I was mostly kidding, and I wasn't following it closely enough either to actually say that there was a bunch of missed flags or something. I'd have to go back and watch. But as far as the actual things that matter, yards per play, especially in that first half when Duke was just dominating, they were the better team. And so they took care of business and got the win. And that was, I think, that ended, I thought I saw two before kick, 2.5, 2. So that was a pretty big move for people that are curious. You rarely see a +6 dog close under a 3 when they're +6 on
Thursday
night. Yeah, that
was really strong.
A really big move. That was probably the sharpest bet of the weekend when it came down to it. We have a couple more questions that came in on Twitter. And then we have some games that we've bet ourselves that we can run through. And we'll take some more calls if they come through as well. First here is from Bob Dankus, or Tiger Bob, will say, can't call in, but I have a question. Are you going to play back anything on Wisconsin? Oh, he says there's a game of the year bet on Iowa at +10.5. That was one that I had recommended to some guys that were listening to a podcast I did before the season. I said, take Iowa +10.5. So wondering if you're going to try to middle sum with Wisconsin at -3.5. So I personally wouldn't. I actually think the line's probably a slight overreaction to what happened with the BYU-Wisconsin game, but Wisconsin didn't look great in either game that they've played. Who was it they played the week prior?
Played New Mexico one week, New Mexico, Western Kentucky,
and then the BYU game.
Right?
Was it just New Mexico? New Mexico was in that game where it was like
0-3 against the spread. Wisconsin's not been impressive at all. They've been a really tough team to bet against.
And the Western Kentucky game, I also think, was closer at halftime, and they've kind of started slow and picked up. And then BYU, BYU's strength-wise can kind of match and keep up and wound up winning that game. I'm not sure they're as good as we anticipated. It comes down to this. Like, you can give it to Taylor, and he can be a Heisman as much as you want, but Alex Hornibrook is really bad at throwing a football, which is important when you play quarterback. And if he's unable to make a throw, let alone get rid of a ball or just try to scramble, I think that's their ultimately kind of destruction. And for me, I liked Iowa as, the reason he also probably asked is we bet Iowa to win the Big Ten West, I believe 10 or 11 to 1. And it comes down to this game. And I thought, you know, Iowa's going to have a really good shot at home. And I thought the number was too high. Kind of the market was a little higher on Wisconsin than I was there. So I fired. I'm going to hold the 10.5 for what it's worth, Tiger Bob. I wouldn't play back on 3.5 just because you can. If you think Wisconsin bounces back, you like the Wisconsin side now for whatever reason. Iowa's played really good football. They've played really sound every week. Even last week with a chance against a good FCS opponent, it was a Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like this inner FCS rivalry where they've played really close in the past. Just crushed them from the get-go. Iowa's strong. I think 10.5 is just a fantastic bet to hold and hopefully, you know, pocket a likely winner. One more question we'll hit and then we'll go jump into some games. From BetterX, I don't know if this is actually BetterX, BetterX 180. What are your thoughts on the Stanford-Oregon and then Whiskey-Iowa matchup? So we'll just hit Stanford-Oregon. I took just for fun on the opener, for fun. Actually, let's talk about this a little bit. So I took Stanford +2 when it opened just for the sake of having +2. Not sure I really like love either side when it comes down to it, and I think it should probably be Stanford's small favorite, which last time I looked, I'll just double check.
They're laying like 1-2 now.
Okay, so it's even moved a little bit more. I think this is fair now. So having a +2 and a +2 isn't going to pay off a ton. I might play Oregon money line plus money and just kind of scalp that way in some form or fashion. But I think it was interesting just talking over stuff where we're hitting some things and openers on Sundays. I know you were doing a lot more of it yesterday, but how many times you go through and even the numbers are sick. Like, what's another one? I think you had Ball State at pick. And now they're laying 3 to Western Kentucky, but you don't actually love it. So you're probably going to be playing back on some. So just give us, I guess, I'm putting you on the spot. We didn't really prep for this. But how you kind of decipher when you're playing back on a game or when you do like a game and you bet a number early in the week, how often you just hold it or what it is, what kind of variables come into play and make you decide whether you're going to hold the bet or play back.
Well, somebody was asking me what are your criteria for playing on Sunday? What difference do you need point-wise? And for me, it's really just trying to work around the key numbers and saying, okay, I think this number is going to go here, so I see it you know, potentially moving through these two key numbers or maybe this really key number and, you know, trying to lay 2.5, take 3.5, you know, lay 6.5, take 10.5, stuff like that, you know, where you think it could move through a couple numbers there and you're going to be on the right side of something important. So that's generally what I'm looking to do. And as far as taking back, that generally just comes down to information I find throughout the week, how comfortable I still am with the game on, you know, Friday or Saturday. If I find something out, you know, maybe some other people that I respect like the other side, or, you know, maybe I'm just reading something or just, you know, get a bad feeling about that game. You know, you have that opportunity to middle it from taking the good number early in the week. But, you know, for the most part, kind of getting to the point now where almost everything I bet on Sunday, I feel confident enough to keep later in the week. So not a whole lot of buying back these days.
Nice. No, that's good. Last thing on Stanford, Oregon. Did you have any thoughts or additions there?
You know, this was a tough game. The one thing that I'm interested, I just don't know what to think of Oregon. I mean, they've played literally probably the worst schedule of anyone in the country so far, Bowling Green, San Jose State, and FCS schools. So, I mean, we just don't really know anything about them. And Stanford, I think I've lost a bet on every Stanford game I've bet on in the last 4 years. So I just moved on. I mean, I have no clue. Yeah. So
San Jose State, man, only ended up losing by 13. They moved the ball pretty well. I was shocked.
Yeah, that was really
after
strange.
After the Wazoo game. I don't know. San Jose State is no good. I was in the same boat. That's why I just fired when Stanford was a dog, because I thought they should be favorites anyway. And at the end, if I'm stuck with +2 when it's -2, you know, so be it. If Oregon can win this game, Stanford's looked pretty solid. Herbert, I forget his first name, Justin?
Justin, yeah.
He hasn't looked as crisp as he has in the past. I don't know if it's just because they've been a little lazy offensively almost. Bowling Green, I think they didn't score until middle of the second quarter. They wound up scoring 58. It's fine. But I don't know what – I think something was a little bit off from him versus – him the last two seasons when he was healthy.
Well, seeing what Taggart is doing at Florida State makes me want to like Oregon this year, but I don't
point,
know
actually.
If I like Crystal Ball that much, to be honest. I mean, you know, I know he was probably wrongfully fired from FIU, but I don't know if he's a huge upgrade over Taggart. So just, I don't know, jury's still out on Oregon for me.
Real quick on coaches, because I think it's an interesting point. There's been a ton of switch around and really evident, like, holy cow. One is Taggart, obviously, at Florida State. And then also correlated to that would be Jimbo, who left Florida State. And even with the backup quarterback, Blackman, who I thought was really bad last year, I think you kind of disagreed with me on that. But
oh, God, yeah, that was embarrassing. But
We had, like, one conversation, like, one night on like, a week 5 game or something about Blackman was all. But I'm shocked now he was able to get, was it 6 or 7, 7 and 5? I think they went 7 and 5 last year with the backup quarterback now, Francois, and Florida State can't win a game.
Oh, it's insane.
That's a huge drop-off. But then it's also correlated then to then where's Jimbo now? He's at Texas A&M. And they've at least, you know, shown that they can hang with Clemson. And then that's correlated to someone then who went to Arizona who's been complete trash. So I think you've learned a lot about
those
coaches.
We could do this for days. Yeah.
And those teams, at least at this point in the season, you don't overreact too much, but it's been pretty drastic. We have David up on the line. David, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good, pretty good. How about you guys?
We are good, man. What do you have for us?
I just want to talk about the Syracuse-Florida State over. And, man, that was frustrating for me to watch. I bet the 63, and it closed at 69. Oh. Just wondering, what are your thoughts on that game?
Go ahead, Matt.
I mean, this game, I said to somebody, this game could not have played out any differently. I mean, the Alabama total, which I'm sure we'll talk about too, was crazy. But this total, I mean, this wasn't even the wrong side. This was a Syracuse defense just straight up dominated Florida State pretty much the entire way. I mean, I'm looking at it, they had Florida State had 4 yards per play, 240 yards offense. They did nothing.
Total.
I mean, Syracuse was awesome. And, you know, Syracuse did their part offensively, but Florida State just had nothing.
Yeah, I guess Florida State, I didn't think how awful they are, and just their current form is just bad.
Hey, but I want to say this, David, because this is the point of what we do and really important when you're trying to bet yourself and get over things like this, is if you had bet under 63 and it closed 69 or 70, and you won, that's still a worse bet than the one you made. And so, like, understanding that is really important. A lot of novice bettors don't realize the single game sample is pretty insignificant in the grand scheme of things. And so the fact that you're betting over 63s and they're, you know, closing 69 or 70 is like a really big edge. Granted, it didn't work out this time, right? Syracuse defense just dominated, like Matt had mentioned, and ultimately they scored, I think, was a 30 themselves. They could have scored more points. I think there was a few drives where they ended up stalling, like in the gray area in the 30, 35, 40. But, you know, this is just like what you're trying to do every week, is assess your bets you've made, where the market close was. Then you want to assess, like, yeah, you're right, maybe Florida State isn't as, you know, even as good as we thought. And we knew they were going to be bad, but maybe not this bad. But you want to be able to take that information and then use it to your advantage going forward.
I see. And can I also get your thoughts on the Washington State USC game this Friday? It seems a bit low at 3.5.
Yeah, no, that's perfect, David. We'll hit that, and thank you for the call.
Thanks a lot for taking it.
Sure. Yeah, I'd actually marked this one down because it was a bet I made this morning. I laid it with 3.5 with USC. So it's interesting, and I had said this all summer entering the year. This is the lowest USC team that I had rated, period, since I'd done this. So like 11 years or 10 or 11 seasons. And they're obviously pretty bad against UNLV. I think the fourth quarter was like, 19-14. They were struggling at home. They only scored 3 to Stanford. And then we said this when we talked about the USC-Texas game briefly on the podcast last week. I'd probably just take Texas reluctantly because I think USC is pretty bad. Well, they struggled, but you made some good points on how that game was a little closer than the final score. I think they were up, in the second quarter, and Texas ended up rolling off 30-something straight. I think if there was ever a buy-low moment on USC, it's probably this week. The line at 3.5, I think especially you can get minus 105 on the -3.5, essentially implies that they're about, pick on a neutral. I don't think Washington State's that good. I would have had this a lot higher before the year. I've downgraded USC some more. I upgraded Washington State a little bit after the Wyoming game. I ultimately have this near 7. I think Matt's number, if I recall, was 8.1. You weigh it with another model that was more like 6.7. But everything we've seen has been higher than the current market. So I like USC. I think it takes, cojones to actually fire on some of these teams that have looked so poor. But a Friday night game at home, they can try to get something under their belt and go. And they played Washington State really, really well last year on the road, ended up blowing it late, but they had like 4 injuries on the offensive line. But defensively, they were really strong against the Leach defense, and they had been the year prior, which is another reason I was following that game closely, where USC has just kind of played the pass-heavy offensive scheme really tight. So anyways, I kind of just like the X's and O's matchup based on what we've seen the last few seasons between the two teams. So when everything lines up like that, you got to fire. So, David, if you haven't bet USC yet, it's something I did put some money on.
This is one I'm battling. I've did have it a lot higher, like you said. Obviously, my numbers don't necessarily take into account all the injuries. I mean, you look at USC, we talked about it last week, their injury list is insane.
Yeah.
So they're pretty banged up. So that definitely got to take that into account. But I think it's interesting. USC not only lost to Washington State last year, they also lost the last time they played in the Coliseum to Washington State. So, I mean, there is no sleeping on Washington State coming off the Texas game, how poorly they've looked. Washington State's going to get USC's best effort. I don't know how good of an effort that is, but they're definitely going to bring it. And, I mean, Washington State, they have looked good, but, Wyoming, are we really impressed by them? San Jose State. So
then FCS school in there too, right?
And the Wyoming game, they were actually, I think they were trailing at halftime. They were getting outgained, or
they were
it was pretty
they
much
were down
even.
6 in the late third quarter. And they scored 20 in a row.
Just like a total onslaught in the second half. So that win was maybe a little deceiving. So yeah, I don't think Washington State's as good. I'm surprised they're getting this much respect. It's just a matter of, do you trust USC? I took a little bit of under in this game. I think this looks like a low scoring game. I like what I've seen out of Washington State's defense, and USC's offense obviously isn't clicking on all cylinders right now. So I could see this being a lower scoring game.
I think the answer is no, we don't trust USC. But it doesn't mean you can't take the number that's low and the edge says you're supposed to bet it anyways. And so, and you made a good point on, if there was ever a time to expect and anticipate max effort from USC, it's going to be this Friday night against Washington State. So that's kind of why I call it the buy-low spot of the week, is on a pretty marquee team in the Trojans.
I do want to note that Helton, I guess it sounds like he's starting to – the seat is warming up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's one of those situations where if maybe he's not even going to make it through the season, those things can unravel really quickly. So that is definitely something to keep in mind also. But
Let's jump in, because I had made some notes on some games that we had bet – and that was one of them. So we kind of knocked that out of the way. David, thanks for calling again. Let's jump to one that you liked quite a bit. It's moved some today. Still can find 7.5s out there. I bet it as well. But UNLV getting +8.5 and some money line. I think you said last night to me they're going to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, I really like this UNLV team. I haven't seen anything that I think is really alarming. I made this game under a touchdown. They're coming in here. It's a pretty nice spot. They're coming off 2 relatively easy home games against Prairie View A&M and UTEP. So not going to be beat up, not going to be looking past Arkansas State, anything like that. I don't know what I think Arkansas State. They took the beating they were going to take against Alabama. And then they really didn't get any market respect against Tulsa last week. They got steamed against pretty hard, through 0. I want to say they ended up closing 1 or 2 point dog. And they won the game, not really an Arkansas State style type win, you know, a little ugly, lower scoring for them. But I just am not sure this team, you know, really has the defense or the talent to be laying two scores of this UNLV team. Obviously, in past years, you know, this would be way short. But I think this gap is closed quite a bit. And, I mean, the way UNLV can run the ball, I trust them getting points, you know, getting two possessions. And, yeah, I definitely think this is going to come down a little bit more.
Two things. One is about this game. But first, as you mentioned Tulsa, and I had this thought as I was watching them, because they ended up losing 20-29, and I think they were down, though, more like 20-something points at one point. What happened to Philip Montgomery and Tulsa?
Yeah, they went from being just an offensive powerhouse 2 years ago to...
And he was at Baylor prior when he was the offensive coordinator at Baylor, and all of a sudden now, are the quarterbacks
maybe
like Skipper? Maybe
Dane Evans was the best college quarterback of all time.
We just didn't know it at the time.
Yeah, right.
I'm stunned because he's such a QB whisperer, genius, guru, offensive mind guy, and Tulsa's just struggled now. I thought last year obviously was bad, but maybe more fluky than anything, and now it's looking like more or less the same.
I hope he figures it out on Thursday because I took the points there. So.
One note that I dug this up this morning. UNLV, we know they rushed for like over 300 yards against USC. That's their thing. They're going to be able to run the ball, getting over, you know, the possession, over the touchdown with a team that can run the ball. It's going to be important. Arkansas State ranks 98th in the nation against the run so far.
Well, I want to note, I'm trying to keep track. I'm not keeping track of the games against FCS schools because you get a lot of stuff out of whack, but I'm trying to keep track of all the FBS games, the first half and the game stats. I've got, you know, according to the two games they've played against USC and UTEP, I got UNLV at the number one offensive yards per carry in the first half of anybody in the country. I mean, they've been running the ball better than anybody. They just write down USC and UTEP's throats. So, I don't know. I really like this rushing attack. I think this UNLV team is a lot better than people think.
Good money line piece to use if you're going to throw out some round robins in the underdog parlay. Next game up, I am going to be betting two Friday night games. I already talked about USC, but I love Florida Atlantic this week. I was looking back. I think you were less high on Florida Atlantic in general coming into the season, but my number would have been 4 a couple weeks ago. And so this is what's changed in the last few weeks. Central Florida beat UConn. They beat an FCS school, and then they had a game get postponed, which is basically nothing. Central Florida has done nothing. We do not know if they're even the same Scott Frost UCF that they were a year ago. We still don't know. Meanwhile, Florida Atlantic, they lost on the road at a really, really good Oklahoma team that I think a lot of people had just kind of underrated how elite they were going to be with Murray instead of Baker Mayfield just from the get-go, and then defensively they're way stronger. So, you lose at Oklahoma, you get beat down, okay. Then they had a cover at Air Force. They were punting away up 13 with 20 seconds left. The punt was blocked. Air Force scored a touchdown on the block. It actually landed 6, so they quote-unquote didn't cover officially, but they didn't play poorly in that game. They actually, I think, overachieved until that punt block with 20 seconds. They took care of business against Bethune-Cookman, I think was the FCS school they played the other day. I don't understand how this is, it was 14. It's mostly 13.5 now. I took the 14 this morning. I still like it at 13.5. I'm going to be using this in the money line round robin 100%. My number after adjusting Florida Atlantic down some, I still think this should be like around a touchdown. So this is my biggest bet of the week for sure.
Strong stuff.
I don't know. This is one of those worst case, and I think you may have bet the total in this game, which you can throw out a few facts there in a second. But this is like worst case, they're down 17-21, and you can backdoor with a garbage touchdown, Florida Atlantic, Lane Kiffin at the end of the game. That feels like worst case to me. I just don't see them letting this get away where they're down 28-plus like the Oklahoma game or anything. So I think they could just match touchdown for touchdown the entire way and win this thing.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that's most interesting to me looking at Florida Atlantic this year is these guys just cannot run the ball like they did last year. I mean, I was looking at Singletary. Everybody's talking about him having 5 touchdowns against Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah.
He had 19 carries for 84 yards. And then I just went back and looked at the Air Force game. He ran for 3.6 yards per carry. So I don't know what's going on with Kiffin's offensive line, but this looks like a team that's just going to have to, you know, they can throw the ball. You know, they're going to be able to score points with Kiffin, but it seems like they're kind of resorting more to having to rely on a passing game. So, you know, looking at this game, I don't really have much of an opinion on the side. I think, you know, there's still a lot of questions with UCF, but Florida Atlantic probably going to have to rely more on the pass, probably going to be playing from behind in the second half, so you know they're going to be throwing the ball instead of just running it into the line ineffectively. And looking at Florida Atlantic's first two teams they played, two teams that actually slowed the pace down quite a bit, Oklahoma and Air Force. I know people think Oklahoma, they think high, you know, fast offense, but under Lincoln Riley, they played a lot slower. So you got them going from Oklahoma and Air Force now to UCF, who pushes that tempo. And that's something, you know, weeks 3, 4, 5, you really try to find, you know, maybe that big adjustment in opponent from who the teams have faced so far. So I think this is a dead over. You know, even at the current number, 70 or so, I think this is one that's going to fly over. I just see a ton of points.
So the Singletary point you made to me last night, I actually checked because I remembered seeing, oh, he scored like 5 touchdowns in that game. What was wrong with the run game? Even against an FCS opponent, I mean, he scored 5 touchdowns. And I looked, and I think it was evident that Lane Kiffin was upset they couldn't run the ball effectively in their first two games. Granted, Oklahoma is Oklahoma. But even against Air Force, they struggled to run it because those first 4 drives of that Bethune-Cookman game were all Singletary touchdowns. And I think he just slammed it home. He's like, we are going to score touchdowns on the ground and figure out how to get points on the ground. And that's what he did. Hopefully that instills some sort of confidence in the offensive line or Singletary or just the offense in general. But I thought that was interesting that he made the point, this is the FCS game, we're going to win anyway. Let's get the run game or at least try to get it going.
I should note they did have 376 rushing yards against Bethune-Cookman. They did run for 6.2 yards per carry overall. But
Singletary,
maybe something's
more
wrong with Singletary. I don't know. Maybe he's not. But either way, if your biggest weapon and you know somebody they're talking about a Heisman candidate before the season is this ineffective, I think that's a big red flag.
I'm going to throw one more at you. We talked about TCU Texas. I know you like that under. We were able to hit on that from the call. Make a case, because I just think this is an interesting game, and I think Mississippi State's a team that could easily be a top 5 team in a few weeks or have a couple losses, right, in a month. Like, it could go either way, and I'm really intrigued by your thoughts in general getting Kentucky. I think you took 11 or 10.5 yesterday, down to 10 most places, and even a 9.5. But what are your thoughts? What's your case for Kentucky in this game?
All right, hold on a second here. I got disconnected.
Oh, well, you can still talk into the mic, and it works, actually. We don't have any callers on the headset,
all right, there
but
we go.
You're good.
You know, this is a, I don't know, I'm gonna die on this hill, I guess, but I decided,
that's fine. It's
your
team, man.
Before the season even started that Mississippi State was overrated this year because, you know, they're losing a head coach that I just love in Mullen, bringing in a first-time head coach in the SEC, just, you know, losing Grantham, defensive coordinator. Obviously, they have a ton back and, you know, made a really big jump last year, but I just, you know, didn't really think this Mississippi State team deserved to be top 10, top 15 level. And, you know, coming into this game, I actually really like the spot for Kentucky. You know, I think Mississippi State, untested so far, they went on the road 2 weeks ago against Kansas State and pretty much rolled them in that game. But I just don't think this Kansas State team offers much. So now they're going to go into Lexington, night game. Kentucky coming off an FCS last week, so you really don't have any type of physical beatdown coming off a, you know, relatively easy win. And this place is, I mean, Commonwealth Stadium, when Kentucky is good, is really fun, really tough place to play. And I think they're good. And coming off the Florida game, I mean, the excitement level in Lexington right now is probably unlike anything it's been in 31, 32 years. So it's going to be a great atmosphere, much tougher than Mississippi State's used to. And just, I mean, this Kentucky team, a lot like UNLV, great at running the ball. You know they're going to be able to move the ball on the ground. So that's great getting 2 scores at home. And this defense is much better than anything Mississippi State's seen. So I want to see how Moorhead's offense handles going in. Night game on the road in SEC play, first time against an SEC opponent, how he handles that type of atmosphere, how they play. I know we've talked about Fitzgerald kind of struggling, hasn't been quite as good in the new offense. So I think this is a tough spot for Mississippi State. And, you know, I try to not be biased with Kentucky, but I legitimately think they have a shot to win it outright.
So my number's right at 10, so this is a total pass for me. Real quick, I feel like in my head you're traveling back to Kentucky quite a bit. Do you go to a Kentucky game or try to every year, or is it more like every couple years?
Well, I unfortunately had the opportunity to go to the Louisville game last year over Thanksgiving.
Nice.
Since I wasn't working, I got to go home. That was terrible. And then the game I went to before that, they played a rare Thursday night game against Auburn a few years back.
Oh, cool.
I went to. Lost that one also. But so I've been to 2 since I've been in Vegas.
So just don't go to any this year.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to go to one, though, since I haven't gotten to go to a Saturday game. Or, well, I guess last year, but haven't really gotten to go to many games.
Yeah, it wasn't even like an SEC matchup or whatever.
So,
that doesn't
count. It'd be awesome. Next 2 weeks, Mississippi State and South Carolina. So it's going to
be
pretty crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to throw out one more, and then we're going to wrap up with a little more on the details of this contest we're going to throw out for the rest of the season. But I wanted to talk about Old Dominion. I bet plus 28 this morning, mostly 27.5s and 27s left. I still think it's worth a bet there. My number is quite a bit lower. I think yours was around where mine was, 22-ish. This is kind of a combo buy low / sell high. So obviously we've seen that the Virginia Tech win against Florida State isn't very impressive.
Right.
I think that's like 100%. Okay, Virginia Tech looked like they might contend, and maybe they still will just because the Coastal's not, you know, fantastic and Miami's not amazing. But they're not as good as they actually looked because Florida State doesn't beat anybody. Since then, they had a game get canceled, and they beat an FCS school, I think. They're in that boat where they haven't played a real game now for like 3 weeks. And Old Dominion, who got hyped up quite a bit before the season, lost all three of their games. They're 0-3. This is kind of their last hurrah, maybe doing something fun before conference play starts. I think it's a buy low. It's also kind of a sell on Virginia Tech, who I think the market's valuing them as beating a really good Florida State team by 21 when Florida State isn't a very good team. So I'm taking the 27.5, 28. I think it's a really good bet. Probably my second favorite of the week outside of the Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I had this game a little lower, you know, but the thing with Ole Dom, I mean, I'm just looking at, you know, we talked about that adjusted yards per play thing I was trying. When you look at the three teams they've played, Liberty, FIU, and Charlotte, and you look at the yards per play allowed on offense, when you take that adjusted number, it's pretty alarming. I mean,
what's our number you have?
Well, I've got, it looks like, if I do the adjusted, it would be about 8.7 yards per play allowed over 3 weeks. I mean, granted, you know, just testing this out, but just kind of goes to show just how bad their defense has been against not good teams. And I watched most of the Charlotte game, and Charlotte moved the ball pretty easily for Charlotte. I mean, they're usually, you know, three and out every series. So I definitely think the ODU defense is bad. I think you can maybe make a case for over given
that. Did you see it move from 53 to 49? Today,
got pounded
under. Yeah,
total got down. Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, it's early in the week here. I don't want to give anyone's stuff away, but you know, who knows what's happening with these totals early? But you know, maybe I don't know. But Virginia Tech, you know, that Florida State game, maybe don't put as much stock into that as you thought with the total either, because Florida State's offense has been so bad that maybe Virginia Tech's defense isn't dominant. So
they had the two guys they had to release. One was a captain, the linebacker.
Yeah.
They had to release from the team. So yeah, everyone was kind of saying there are some question marks on the Virginia Tech defense coming in. And then they gave up three, I think it was, to Florida State. So people just swept it aside. But anyway, that's my last bet that I'm going to give out here on the show. Real quick, the contest, I don't think we have a name for it. It's going to be the Petty Moose contest, I guess. But Matt explained it a little bit earlier if you missed it or didn't understand it fully. We're going to create a Google Doc every week. We'll put it up like Thursday mornings, give people about 48 hours to submit. You write in your Twitter handle. If you write it in more than once, it's not going to count. You can only do one submission per person, per Twitter handle, say. And you have to pick a dog and however many points they're getting. If they win outright, that's how many points you get for the week. And we'll track it every week. We're going to give away $500 to the winner at the end of the season. Although if Matt or I win, because I'm going to be doing it too, and you can play along as well, Matt, then nobody's getting money.
I think they have to pay us probably.
That's true. Everyone can pitch in like a dollar or whatever.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's fine with that.
Yeah. So that's going to be the contest. There'll be some more details when I send out the first link or Google survey on Thursday morning. But start looking into the dogs. Those Moneyline round robin dogs, everyone's been asking for them. Well, now you guys can pick your own. You'll get to just choose one shot every week, and you get as many points as that dog is getting on that game. And we're probably just going to do Saturday games for what it's worth, kind of make that clear. No Thursday or Friday games, just the Saturday slate. Thanks again for listening, guys. Thanks again, Matt, for coming in.
No problem.
Good luck this weekend.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jared, for covering, doing the show over there behind the counter. Everyone have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next time.